This is Ken Boyce with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and co-host of The Life You've Always Wanted. Surprise your sweetheart this Valentine's with a marriage excitement weekend getaway. Join WK and I February 16th at the Chateau on the Lake. Relax, rediscover each other, and learn the secrets of a love ever after. For more details and to register, call 882-6767 or go online to springfieldmfi.com.
It's time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
And good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
We are here on this cloudy Monday morning.
Yes, but at least it's mild.
It's warm. Indeed it is. If you're listening to us this morning, you'd like to give us a call and chat a bit. Our number is 862-9977. That's 862-9977. Or you can call us if you're out of the area at 1-800-375-0056 or star 56 on your cell phone.
Over the past few weeks, we've talked a lot about this ever after that we were looking for, this expectation in life that we have. And this morning, we're going to be focusing on commitment and really what commitment means. That is one of the core things when you get down to it, most marriages slip on is commitment. Matter of fact, a lot of marriages in general slip on the very basics of what it should be. So this morning, we're going to be exploring this thing called commitment, getting some ideas of how we can enrich our lives and increase our ability to commit for a lifetime. As we were coming in the studio, I heard a lot of talk about politics and that type of thing, and this is definitely the year for politics. Anyone who knows me knows I'm pretty much a political junkie. I do like to keep on top of things. And if we ran our lives like they ran the government, we'd be in a world of hurt.
Well, we are in a world of hurt. Because they're trying to run our lives.
But as we were coming across some of the information for commitment, I thought this was a good one for politicians out there to keep in mind. This apparently came out of the Quality Press, but it says, forget about the concept of a town hall meeting to decide public policy. In other words, all the polls and which way the wind's blowing, etc.
Yeah.
And how about this instead? In ancient Greece, to prevent idiotic statesmen from passing idiotic laws upon the people, the lawmakers were asked to introduce all new laws while standing on a platform with a rope around their neck. If the law passed, the rope was removed. If it failed, the platform was removed. Something to think about. You know, as we talk about commitment, what does it mean to be committed? When you hear that word, what definition comes to your mind? Another idea of commitment, in this case could be political commitment as well, but it was definitely for motivation, was from Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, and he took a bold and decisive step to ensure the success of the military venture. Ordering his men to march to the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he commanded them to look down at the water below. To their amazement, they saw every ship on which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off the possibility of retreat. Now that his soldiers were unable to return to the continent, there was nothing left for them to do but to advance and conquer. And that's exactly what they did. And apparently did it very well.
Apparently so.
Because 1,500 years later, Cortez did the same thing.
Yes, he did.
But that is an incentive, a motivation to commitment. What if we had no choice of divorce? When we got married, that was it. How committed to our marriages would we be? How committed to our families would we be? How committed to our children would we be?
How carefully would we select that spouse? How much thought would we give to it? You know, those are the types of things that we need. And we have been talking about this whole month. The ever after love that we need in our marriage relationships, in our families, in our community, in our society. And it's not just a pie in the sky. I want you to hear this. There's some real research, some real hard research ongoing, but the research is showing that there's evidence in the professional literature that gives us insight into the root causes of crime. Over the past 30 or 40 years, the rise in violent crime parallels the rise in families abandoned by fathers. High crime neighborhoods are characterized by high concentrations of families abandoned by fathers. A state-by-state analysis indicates a 10% increase in the percentage of children living in single-parent homes leads typically to a 17% increase in juvenile crime. The rate of violent teenage crime corresponds with the number of families abandoned by fathers. The type of aggression and hostility demonstrated by a future criminal often is foreshadowed in unusual aggressiveness as early as age 5 or 6. And the future criminal tends to be an individual rejected by other children as early as the first grade, who goes on to form his own groups of friends. Often, those are the future delinquent gangs. But on the other hand, neighborhoods with a high degree of religious practice are not high crime neighborhoods. Even in high crime inner city neighborhoods, well over 90% of children from safe, stable homes do not become delinquents. By contrast, only 10% of children from unsafe, unstable homes in these neighborhoods avoid crime. Criminals capable of sustaining marriage gradually move away from a life of crime after they get married. And then a couple more points. The mother's strong affection and attachment to her child is the child's best buffer against a life of crime. And lastly, the father's authority, involvement, and discipline in raising his children are also a great buffer against a life of crime. Now, what we're talking about here is either the building up and the strengthening of our community, of our society, the very fabric of our society, or we're talking about the deterioration and destruction of our community and of our society and the fabric of our society. Now, the fact that many families have seen the abandonment of the men, the abandonment of dad, abandonment of husbands, is the reason why we're speaking out so strongly that men need to be involved in their marriage and in their children's lives. That men must be there, must be present. They must be loving. They must be nurturing. They must be cherishing their wives and their children that they choose to bring into the world. Now, guys, it's not right to bring a child into the world and walk away from it. That's not being a man. That's not manhood. If we're going to bring a child into the world, we need to man up, step up to the plate, and be a dad to that child, whether it's a son or a daughter. And we need to be a husband to their mother. Now, that's absolutely essential. Because to do otherwise, to step away from that authority, to step away from that accountability, to step away from those responsibilities is to thrust your wife, the woman that you have chosen to bring children into the world with, and those children, to thrust them into poverty, into all kinds of hardship, and children into crime. Now, that's ongoing research. That's exactly what it's showing over and over again. On a nationwide basis, it's not pockets in our country, but it's across the nation. The root cause of violent crime is found in failed intimate relationships of love and marriage and in the family. The breakdown of stable communities into crime-infested neighborhoods flows directly from this failure. In contrast, addressing the root causes of crime requires an understanding of the crucial elements of supportive family and community life. If we can know what it is that promotes marriages, that promotes stable marriages and builds strong and stable marriages, and strong and stable and disciplined and happy families, then shouldn't we be doing that? Shouldn't we be doing that? That's exactly why we need to know what it is that helps us have that life that we've always wanted. There are things that we can know, that we can do, and to do otherwise is to destroy the very community, not to say our own families, in the process. Let me give you one other thought. Whenever there's too high a concentration of broken families in any community, that community will disintegrate. Only so many dysfunctional families can be sustained before a moral and social fabric of the community itself breaks down. So we need to talk about, we need to voice, we need to come to an understanding of what it is that causes families to grow.
As we look at any city, at any community, in any neighborhood, it doesn't take a scientific study to see these results. We see these in our own city, here in Springfield. We see it in the neighborhoods. And what absolutely amazes me is that many times people want to take these complaints and say, well, that's just a poverty issue.
Yeah, as if money has something to do with it. Or to throw money at it will resolve it, will cure it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Senator Phil Graham from Texas once said, if throwing money at poverty and crime were the answer, we'd be the healthiest nation on earth and the wealthiest nation on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But we've thrown trillions of dollars at poverty and crime, and it's still gone up 800% since the 1960s when it was first beginning to be addressed.
So the fact is, it has nothing to do with money. This comes back to a reality check. This is a reality check on ourselves. Where are we living and how are we living our lives?
Yeah, what are we committed to? You see, that's the question. What are we committed to? Not interested in, but what are we committed to? And we show what we're committed to by the way we live our lives, by what our priorities and our values are. What are we committed to in our life? If we say we are committed to our wife, we're committed to our marriage, we're committed to our families, then our behavior is going to show that. Or if we say we're committed, but we only show an interest in our wife and our marriage, our families, our kids, our behavior will show that. Because being interested in something doesn't mean any sacrifice. It doesn't mean that we are giving up anything to be with them. It is important to know that when we are committed, we're in it with a whole person for the long haul, for the rest of our life.
Yeah, there was a quote, the difference between interest and commitment, when you're interested in doing something, you do it only when circumstances permit. When you're committed to doing something, you accept no excuses, only results.
Only results. And that's why we're talking about this month, because it isn't simply a nicety. What we're talking about is fundamental. What we're describing is something that strikes at the very core of our community here in Springfield, in Southwest Missouri, and all over this country. What we're talking about means either stronger, healthier, more stable families and marriages, or we're talking about weaker, more dysfunctional, and even deteriorating and destroyed marriages and families, and ultimately the fabric of our society itself.
Too many times we take this on of a top-down approach. Anytime something comes up or we have this discovery of, oh, this is wrong in our society, well, then what's the government going to do about it? Ladies and gentlemen, we are the government. We can't sit up to our elected officials and expect them to fix what is in our daily lives. The solution to many of the issues that we face on a daily basis as a society can be fixed. Listen to this, can be fixed at the individual and family level. If we address it down to the individual lives, the individual family units, and making those functional versus dysfunctional, we will solve many of the problems. They will go away. It is a bottoms-up approach. It is a one-on-one. It is a proactive step in correcting many of these things that are throughout society now.
Yeah, it's a proactive, pro-marriage, pro-family approach.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-community, pro-society approach. And it's something that we're shouldering the authority of our own life. We're accepting authority and accountability for our own life before God as adults, for our relationships and our marriages and our families. We're shouldering that. The authority can be traced back to a Greek word, authentikos, which means doer, master, or creator. The English meaning of authority, that is, possession of the right and power to command, stems from the fact that the creator of a work of art or craft has the power to make decisions about it. And that's our life. That's our life. Also, the second word is community. Community. It has old roots also. Going back to the Indo-European base, meaning change or to exchange. Apparently, this joined with another root, com, meaning with, to produce an Indo-European word, komain, which means shared by all. And so we think of the idea of change or exchange, shared by all, is pretty close to the sense of community in our world today. Community building is a core strategy for sharing among all its members the burdens and the benefits of change and exchange. When we are community, we are family. When we're a community, we're sharing back and forth. And the third word is intimacy. That's what another word I'd like to focus on this morning, intimacy. It stems from a Latin word, intimatus, which to make something known to someone else. Okay, another derivation is the verb intimate, which originally meant to notify. In its original meaning, intimacy did not mean emotional closeness, but the willingness to pass on honest information. Being truthful with others, being honest with others, being genuine and authentic with others, that's intimacy. Mm-hmm. And in that you have community, because you've accepted authority in your own life.
We have Jim in Lawrence County. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I listened to you last week, and I made some statements that was wrong. I mentioned that Solomon and Bathsheba, it wasn't Solomon and Bathsheba, it was David. And Bathsheba.
That's right.
I'm sorry about that. And Solomon's the one that had all the wives, right?
Yes, Solomon is Bathsheba's son.
Yeah. Anyhow, you're talking there this morning. One of the saddest things I seen last week was, I don't even know the gentleman's name. He was from Springfield there. I think he was on the city council or something. Mm-hmm. And he was having to file bankruptcy because his wife had went crazy with a bunch of credit cards and had some kind of...
Oh, had manic depressive disorder, yeah.
He just run him into bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a tragic thing, but it is just stuff. You know, if him and his wife, they had 8 kids, I think, if they can get over this and make a life out of it, I mean, that's just stuff that can be replaced.
Yeah.
So I'd suggest that him and his wife go ahead and pick up their life and go on and try to make a life out of it.
Absolutely.
So yeah. You don't think bad things can happen to good people.
And does, yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get off here.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Yeah, I was very proud when I heard that he and his wife were staying together, sticking together, and they were going to resolve this because this is one of their issues. This is part of their life. This is something they have to handle. And you see, that's what I'm talking about. They're stepping up and accepting authority for their life. They're not asking for somebody to give them a handout. They're not asking for or started blaming each other. It's a matter of stepping up and accepting authority and accountability for ourselves as adults. Because only then can we handle, resolve, and finish handling the problems that would come into our life. I mean, life is filled with problems. And it's not what happens to us. The old saying is, it's how we handle what happens to us.
How we react to it.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing, that family is going to have some major issues to address over the next few months, next few years even. To understand and to expect that going in, but to know, and here's the thing, there is a stronger, more rewarding outcome on the other side. This is going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take a lot of discussions on their part. And I hope that as people sit there and, you know, talk about this, or it keeps coming up in the news, that people keep that family in their prayers. When you heard about that last time, did you actually say a prayer for that couple? Just take a moment and say, you know, I hope they make it. Because at the onset here, it sounds like they're going to continue going and to work through it. And they need all the strength and support they can to get through it. And that's the right thing. There are so many times that I've heard talking to people, and they go, well, our marriage, it just didn't work out. Really? How hard did you try? Well, we were just too busy. We grew apart. You know, they were always working out of the area and or on the road or fill in the blank. There are many, many excuses for our lack of commitment. Going back to the example, talking about the ships, Caesar burning his ships, the men had come over, and even Cortez doing the same. How motivated would we be if we had very little chance of having a divorce? How careful would we choose our spouse? How much thought would we have in bringing children into that relationship? How much more rewarding would it be? Commitment. It is the essential thing, one of the essential parts of an ever-after marriage. And it's one of those things we need to know what it truly is before we say, I do, and discover what we've done.
Hey, you know, Mark DeVries once wrote, he says, real community means real responsibility for each other. He's talking about really being connected with community. It means a commitment to be there for each other, even when the schedule is tight and motivation is low. And then he goes on to say, but the typical adult in our culture knows very little about commitment to community. And that's what I'm encouraging all of us to examine. What Ken and I are talking about this morning is the commitment, being there with each other, for each other, even when problems arise, when that schedule's tight, when motivation's low, when it's painful to stand in there and say, we're going to resolve this. But that's how community works. The community I'm talking about, it even comes down to the relationship between the husband and wife. That's community. And among a family, that's community. Standing in there and expecting to live according to what's truth and what are right principles, what are strong principles, regardless of the consequences. To be standing in there. Because commitment, real commitment, is something that a lot of people avoid. A lot of people avoid because they've not stood up and accepted their adulthood, the authority for their own life. And they're afraid of commitment because commitment puts their freedom in jeopardy. Commitment means they have to make a choice. Commitment means they can't just think about themselves any longer. And so a lot of people are really, really frightened of commitment. But if we stand up, accept the mantle of our adulthood, the authority for our own life, then we can make commitment. Only the immature are unwilling to commit.
How many examples can you think of commitment? When you mention that word, what do you think of? Is it your grandparents? Is it your parents? I watched a few couples here at the hospital recently where I saw commitment, where one is at the final end of life and the other is still right there by their side doing everything they can. That's commitment. I've seen soldiers out in the Middle East going day after day committed to what they're doing, to do the job right and to get home. What examples of commitment can you think of? Give us a call, 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening online, 800-375-0056. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, every marriage begins as a fairy tale. The hopes, the dreams, the love ever after. This is Ken Boyce with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and co-host of The Life You've Always Wanted. February 14th will soon be here. Now's the time to make this a Valentine's to remember. This year, give them the fairy tale. Imagine that morning walking into a grand ballroom, relaxing, laughing, and rediscovering each other while learning the secrets of an ever after love. After lunch, a few thoughts to stir your soul, then the rest of the afternoon for just the two of you. Do you go to the pool, hit the town, or maybe just stay in? Finally that evening, a candlelight dinner and dance. Do you see the sparkle in their eyes? Can you feel the music and love as you dance into the night? How would you finish such an enchanted evening? This is a Valentine's to remember. Surprise your sweetheart with a marriage excitement weekend getaway. Love Ever After, February 16th at the Chateau on the Lake. Hosted by W.K. Boyce. Come discover the secrets. Call 417-882-6767 or register online at springfieldmfi.com.
Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your host, once again, WK and Ken Boyce.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're back. I'd like to say hello to the Culbertsons and Morans in Antioch, Tennessee. They are people that I've known through the years and used to work for them when attended David Lipscomb University down there. It was David Lipscomb College at that time. But I know that they're there and just wish them well and just want to say hi.
What does it mean to be committed? And are we committed to the right things? Are we committed to the important things? You know, I've got friends of mine that are committed hunters. And when I mean committed hunters, they are out there every chance they get. If there's a season to kill something, they're going to be out there on the weekend. It could be 30 below, and they're going to be sitting out there. They have the talent, they have the desire, they have the drive, they put time, they put effort into what they do, into searching for the trails, into searching for the right place for a tree stand, searching out which tool or weapon would be the best at the time. They study, they learn, they hone those skills.
They invest a lot of time, energy, and money into that.
A lot. Now, what if we did that with our families? What if our prize was to look back and go, look what we did. Look at our family. Imagine the difference we would make in society, in everything else that we had touched, if we spent as much time on our families, on our marriages, as we did in any of our other hobbies. I'm not saying those hobbies aren't a great thing. We need our time away. We need to be who we are. But one of the most important things in our life that we need to take care of is one that we seem to kind of put on the back burner because I think we take it for granted. We assume that it's always going to be there. Especially guys. I mean, this is just part of who we are. You know, we get things accomplished, we get things done, and we make the assumption that it's always going to be there.
And it's amazing how fast the time flies when we're out at succeeding and accomplishing, and we have goals, we meet those goals, we set new ones, and time flies by, and we just presume that our family, our kids, are always going to be there. We're always going to have more time to spend with them. If we just make a little more money, we'll have a little more we can do with them. And we turn around twice, and they're grown. And we say, I'm not ready for you to leave home. What do you mean? I'm just now getting to the point where I've got time to be with you, you know. So we need to be very careful of how we spend our time with our families growing up, that our children and our grandchildren in our older years are truly our wealth. They are our wealth. Now, we have Wayne waiting for us in Lebanon. Good morning, Wayne.
Yes, good morning. I just had a couple of comments I'd like to make, if you'll indulge me.
Yes, go ahead.
You're talking about the definition of commitment. You know, commitment, that takes a lot in. You take a kindergarten child who is committed to going to school every day and not missing a day, even if it's because he's only getting a piece of candy at rest time, that's a commitment.
Yeah.
And then you take the idiots that flew their airplane into the World Trade Center, I'd say that's a commitment too. So, you know, you're running the whole spectrum there.
Yeah, we are.
And I have to disagree with you on the family thing. Family means an awful lot. Don't get me wrong. It would be wonderful if a man and woman could stay together and live for their children and have a commitment to their community, as you say. But I was married twice, divorced twice, had three children out of the marriages, and all of them grew up just great. I think it's born into the children. Now, it may have been on their mother's side, but it was still born into the children. And, you know, there are good families that have done great things for their children, and the children have still turned out to be, you know,
well, sure,
rotten. So that's about all I had to say.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne. You know, all families are different, but there are some principles that guide all families. And the fact that we need commitment to our spouse, we need commitment to our children, is a principle. I know more children are harmed by parents who are never there or by parents who neglect them, who provide all the material needs and give them everything the kids ever wanted, and those kids' lives are ruined as they become adults because nothing of substance has ever been taught to them, and most importantly is that they've never experienced the unconditional love and acceptance and understanding of that parent, that connection with that parent, that bond. I know a lot of hurts come into parents' lives and husbands and wives. I understand that. But our goal is to be committed. That's what I'm encouraging us all toward, is commitment. There was a study done that examined the relationship between several independent variables like ego development and commitment to the spouse and length of the marriage and church attendance and whether male or female. And what came out of that study, and this was a study of couples ages 50 and up, what they found was that commitment to the spouse was the strongest and most consistent predictor of marital quality. The quality of that marriage, the commitment to the spouse. And that commitment was negatively related to marriage problems. That is, the higher the marital commitment, the fewer the problems. The higher the marital commitment, there was a greater expression of love within the marriage relationship. So the commitment to the spouse, and this is the core. This is the core of family. And I'm going to tell you, this is the core of our country. are the marriage relationships that are in this country. This is the core of the fabric of our society. Commitment to the spouse and studies are showing that this is the strongest and most consistent predictor of the quality of marriage that we have.
As we look at our own lives, and Wayne from Lemon, I guess he's off the air now. I understand as far as being divorced as well. I am divorced also. I was out to sea pretty much 582 days in 2 years' time. That pretty much ended that marriage. I came off of a six-month deployment, and she didn't want to be married anymore. We can't control what other people do. What we're talking about is taking from the individual point, from the what I can do is be totally committed to someone else, to be committed to my family, to be committed to my wife, to be committed to my children. Most marriages that fail lack that commitment. There are a lot of things that come up in life, and a lot of bad things that come up in life. That doesn't mean that a marriage has to end because of it. In most cases, it's something to grow through, a knowledge to grow through. And for a lot of people, we seem to just decide, well, I'm not happy now, let's go our own way. That's not what a marriage is. When you walk down the aisle, did you say, well, as long as I'm happy, that'll be fine? No. When the minister or the Justice of the Peace said, take her, take him, did you go, maybe? Until I'm bored with you. No. That's what we're getting back to, is if we want to be married, then we need to be married. If we say I do, it's for a lifetime. If we're looking across at someone, it's your wedding day, and you cannot honestly say, I'm going to be committed to this for my lifetime, then you need to be a man and say, you know, maybe we don't need to do this right now. WK, you've had an instance where this happened.
I did. I had the wedding. The music was playing in the auditorium of the church building. The groom was back in my office, and the bride was back in the dressing area where she was getting dressed. And I walked through the foyer, and the people were lining up. The music was playing, getting ready to come down the aisle. I walked back into my office to walk out to the groom, and he says, I don't think I can do this. I said, what do you mean you don't think you can do this? He said, I still got women I want to date. I said, we better get the bride in here and let you tell her that. And it wasn't a happy day. It was a horrible day. And she thought her life was ruined. She thought her life was over. Of course, it was a huge embarrassment to her and to the families and
to everyone.
To everyone that was there. And a lot of sadness about that, because he hadn't had the honesty to tell her that before they got to this point. But he did her a huge favor. And the fact he said, I don't want to do this. And it's better then than 5 years in the marriage, which says, I should have never married you. 5 years and two kids later, which happens a lot. That really did happen.
Yeah. Being married isn't dating. If we're dating someone and we go, you know, this just isn't working out, that's fine. That's what dating's about. That's the time to do it. But when we make that commitment to a lifetime, before we say I do, we need to understand what we're saying I do about, what that includes. In many ways, a lot of people are getting married just for the sake of getting married. Or for that first initial love that you feel all gushy and mushy inside, and it feels so good. And we expect that to be what lasts. That's just a beginning. It's going to grow, and through growth comes pain. But there are rewards that we find when we grow beyond that.
Hey, you know, they said that there are three stages of marriage. The first stage is illusion. The illusion stage, and that's where things appear to be what we believe them to be. The second stage is disillusionment. That means everything we have believed in maybe just comes crashing down our heads, and we turn over in bed one morning and say, who is this person waking up next to me? Where'd you come from? And the third stage is reality, the reality stage. And this is where who we truly are begins to be recognized, and that we can truly then become ourselves and be ourselves in the presence of each other, which is the beginning of the intimacy that we need for the rest of our life. We need that to grow in that and to grow in the capability of that. Because the ever after love isn't the illusion stage. I don't want anyone to believe that. the ever after love that I believe every marriage has the potential to live in, not only attain it, but live in it for the rest of their life. The ever after love is in the reality stage. It's seeing each other as we truly are, being ourselves in the presence of each other, having the freedom to be ourselves in the presence of each other and still love each other. It's intentionality. It's being there with each other.
It's a love that is stronger and better than the one we first fell in love with. A few weeks ago, we were discussing Ron and Nancy Reagan, a book from Jim Kuhn, talking about the private life, being an executive assistant to President Reagan. Mm-hmm. He got to see their love affair. And he described it, it was a classic love affair, like a love affair in the movies, but this one was real. And their devotion to each other was real. The thing is, they took time every day towards that devotion, towards that love. They nurtured it, they pruned it, they encouraged each other. We need to do that on our daily lives. This is not something that just happens. It's something that happens because of what we do. It's just like gardening or farming or anything else, ranching, whatever you want to do. If you don't spend time taking care of what you're responsible for, it'll die. You could have 1,000 head of cattle, and they'll starve to death if you don't take care of them. You could have acres and acres of crops, and they'll burn up. We have to tend to what's important, and we will tend to what's important. If our kids are important to us, we'll tend to them. If they're not, they'll know it. If our wives or our husbands are important to us, they'll know it by the way we act to them. It isn't just in saying, well, I love you. It's how we act to them. Do we take care of their needs? Do we encourage them? Do we strengthen them? Or do we ignore them? Take out our anger and frustration against them? These are things that we do on a daily basis. We have Holly in Springfield. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
You are really speaking to my heart this morning. I don't always listen to you on the radio, but this topic this morning is just exactly kind of what I'm going through in my life, and I just felt so compelled to call you. I'm 55 years old. Thought I had found the man of my dreams, love of my life, 5 years ago. We moved in together, and after 5 years, going through all sorts of things, you know, he is just not willing to make that commitment, and that commitment is what you're talking about.
That's
today.
Exactly right.
So I just want to say, all you women out there, get that commitment. Don't give up your years. You know, I've wasted 5 years, and now I'm going to have to start my whole life over again. And I can only hope that, you know, God has a plan for me.
Yes.
I don't know, but women, be smart. You know, they tell you that they love you, and you believe that, and you believe you can change their bad habits. Don't fall for it. Get that commitment.
Thank you, Holly. We appreciate it. It's very eloquently stated. Get the commitment.
As we've talked about the commitment, think about what we are committed to on a daily basis. This is a daily check we must make, because this is our life, our choice.
Make it a great one.
We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m. where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.